is Mary Ellen Angelscribe, author of Expect Miracles, with a Miracle Minute. Here's Mary Ellen Angelscribe, author of Expect Miracles, with a Miracle Minute.
Welcome to Metaphysical Straight Talk from the Heart. I'm your host, Tatira. And have you ever really wondered what's going on in the stars? Well, today we're going to have lots of help in that subject. Today I'm so blessed to have Hazen Page with me, an incredible astrologer, writer, teacher, musician. He's been featured in E! Entertainment, Hollywood Horoscopes, Fox Radio, and Hazen is an amazing astrologer. He has been in the metaphysical studies for a very long time, and he really has an interesting philosophy about his study based on the greater harmony of the eternal way of life. And his basis was originally, he's a certified professional level astrologer in natal astrology by Western State Astrologists. And he has also been featured in horoscope magazines. He's very well known internationally as well as in America. So, Hazen, welcome to the show.
Tara, it's a pleasure.
I want to talk about the difference because I really don't know. I'm not an astrologer. I can never keep all that data in my head. So I need to know a little bit the difference between Western and Vedic.
Well, what we're talking about is going to be new for some people. Actually, there is a difference between Western tropical astrology and Eastern sidereal astrology. In other words, there are two zodiacs. And they are both valid. The beginning of the tropical zodiac starts on the first day of spring, and that's either March 20th or 21st. The sidereal zodiac is based on the visible constellations and begins 24 days later on April 14th. What's interesting is that in the year 25 AD, the start of spring coincided with the beginning of the sidereal zodiac. But because of the precession of the equinox, the beginning of both zodiacs have been moving farther apart.
I tell you, you got to be a math whiz to do this.
I know, it's even tough for me. I was going over my notes for hours.
Don't you thank God for computers? Because you can get some of this data just assimilated faster now.
That's right.
So when we say Western, you know, when I think of Western, you know, anything that says Western, I'm thinking of the USA. But I'm not so sure it started here.
That Western astrology started in the U.S.?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, really what we are doing in terms of tropical astrology goes back to the Greeks as far as I've looked into it. The sidereal system, on the other hand, goes back over 5,000 years and is based in India.
Well, I think a lot of that had to start with following that star, right, to find Jesus' birth. So, you know, I think astrology has been around, you know, as long as man has. I think we've always looked to the stars to wonder, you know, what is our relationship, first of all, to that?
Absolutely. It's part of our search for meaning, you know, our sense that, well, maybe we don't, I know sometimes I don't feel at home on Earth.
I think a lot of my listeners feel the same way.
You know,
we feel like a very different species.
Yeah, like we're here for a specific reason, particular purpose. Our connections with our family members or, you know, relationships, children, whatever it might be, but that after we're done here, that we're going to go back to actually where we came from. And in terms of astrology, the sense of home, like returning to our real home, capital H home, is related to what the Hindus call the nakshatras or the lunar mansions. And there are 27 lunar mansions. And this, these represent divisions of the sidereal zodiac, and each of these nakshatras or lunar mansions has its own particular meaning and own particular influence.
Now I'm in big trouble, Hayes, and I was barely able to deal with the 12 houses. Now you got me into 27.
Well, you know, this is, I'll tell you, it sounds complicated at first, but it's for the reason that there is more information to draw on. There is the lore. There are the deities. There are the myths connected to these 27 lunar mansions that makes astrology so much more rich. Or add, let me put it this way, it adds a dimension to astrology that I never had before. And let me add quickly, too, that I did Western astrology for 25 years, and I loved it. But it was time for me to make a change because my predictions weren't coming out as they were before. I was sensing and receiving inner guidance that it was important for me to move into a different kind of astrology.
Well, you know, Hayes, and I agree with that as a clairvoyant. Something has changed, and how even we reach into the ethers, you know, how I work with my guide Dom and everything,
right.
I really noticed a change. So I'm not surprised that we're having to find different or new or remember or learn tools
right. Or
access things that are different. One of the things I was never big into astrology because I could, honest to God, just never figure it out. It just wasn't my forte.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I have to tell you, one thing that made me a really believer in astrology was Mercury retrograde.
Right. You want to talk about that?
Yes, I want to talk about that thing.
Yeah,
every time that thing comes up, I mean, can't you just stop it for us?
Well, let's talk about it. This is perfect. I love talking about Mercury retrograde because it's happening right now.
it feels like it. Every time, literally, for me, now I found out from other people that it happened to them. That's why I found out it might be Mercury retrograde, and I could start kind of tracking it, is every time Mercury goes retrograde, electronic things go bonkers for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the computer dies, phones won't work, something. I mean, I affect phones anyway, but other things, like mechanical things, would go down.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to think I was just crazy and cursed. And then people started telling me about Mercury retrograde, and I could actually plot it on my calendar and call my friend that's an astrologer and say, is Mercury retrograde? And they said, yes. And I'd say, when is it over?
I know. I got a call from Mary Ellen, you know, our dear angel scribe.
Our angel scribe,
and she was saying, is Mercury in retrograde? Meaning that she wasn't sure it was.
Right.
But it was.
Yeah.
So people tune in, and people that have a psychic gift, like you do, and like Mary Ellen does.
So tell me what Mercury retrograde for my listeners is. What is
that?
Well,
it's a phenomenon. It's about a 3-week phenomenon. Let me close my door over here. I've got something driving by. Mercury retrograde is a 3-week phenomenon that happens 3 or 4 times a year. What I tell people, I encourage people to view it as a natural cycle. And what it gives us the opportunity to do is to catch up on the loose ends of the previous 90 days. If you think of it that way, it will really help you. In other words, we can reconnect with people, we can sort and file papers, we can go over documents, we can make sure where things are because sometimes we'll lose track of things, like our car keys. Losing car keys or getting locked out of the house is a classic symptom for some people of Mercury in retrograde. But sometimes things will go haywire because it changes the normal rhythm of our lives. In other words, Mercury represents linear thinking.
Oh, no wonder I have so much trouble with it.
Okay, Mercury when it's direct, represents linear thinking. Linear thinking is 2 plus 2 equals 4. But when Mercury's retrograde, we're not in linear thinking. The subconscious mind, the unconscious mind, is more prominent in our lives. Our conscious minds can jump around a lot more. You'll notice that Mercury has to do with transportation, so while you're out driving, you'll notice that people will change lanes more without signaling. They'll do things abruptly or a sudden thought will occur to them, and they'll just act on it without necessarily thinking it out.
You know, almost every time I've had car trouble, it has been absolutely during Mercury retrograde.
It can coincide with that. And it's not always considered to be the greatest time to have mechanical
repairs. I don't think I'd buy a car under a Mercury retrograde. I actually, an astrologer a long time ago told me, don't buy anything electronic under a Mercury retrograde.
Well,
you tend to take it back.
I think it's easier when Mercury is direct to do things like that, to really have your expectation met that something's going to work properly. But let's say something goes out and you are forced to get something under a Mercury retrograde. Well, make sure that you have a good warranty. Or maybe you buy an extra insurance policy or extra coverage, something like that. Mercury has to do with contracts. Normally, for people in business, I don't recommend that they sign under retrograde Mercury, because a retrograde Mercury will incline people to have misunderstandings.
Miscommunications.
Right. And so, because one person may not have revealed everything that he or she needs to reveal, or the other person is hearing something differently than what the other person is.
That's what I really find, too, that people just mishear.
Yeah, they will mishear, they will miscommunicate, they will take something wrong, they will take it the wrong way, so really good friends can have a fight over something really trivial because their perception is different. Mercury is the planet of perception.
Yeah.
So allow more time. The idea with Mercury retrograde is that you get a chance to go over something. Like rereading your favorite book is really great under a retrograde Mercury. Spiritual practices, going on a spiritual retreat, your prayers and meditations, your inner life is more important under Mercury retrograde.
Well, I love that you brought that up, because I've never heard very much good that happens during Mercury retrograde.
Well, I do it.
So I think people are viewing it wrong or get caught in the things that aren't working, rather than going, maybe this is the time to go retreat a little bit and have the inner perspective and not be caught in the mundane. What a great thing you just gave me and my listeners.
Well, it is a natural thing, because it happens. It's a natural thing. It's when Mercury appears to be going backward in its orbit from the standpoint of Earth. But, of course, that's an illusion, because, of course, Mercury continues to go around the sun.
Right.
It never goes retrograde in relation to the sun. It always continues
forward. But you know, how many times in our life do we have the illusion we're going backwards? You know,
Well, sure.
In our own cycles.
Yeah, a lot.
You have just demystified Mercury retrograde for me. Thank you so much.
That's right. Don't think of it as, like, one of my clients. He used to call it Mercury retrograde.
Yeah, I can believe that. I was feeling a little bit that way by the third time my computer went down in a Mercury retrograde. But
if
you know that it's maybe more sanctuary time.
It's more sanctuary time, but if you're traveling, make sure that you double-check your reservations.
And it goes direct when?
It goes direct on November 1st.
November 1st. Well, that means I'm traveling. I better double-check everything.
you want to make sure. And if you're working and you normally have a heavy schedule, try not to overbook. Usually, if somebody's working with clients, like you're working, you have people calling you and all the time and all of that. Well, if you can be a little bit more flexible or expect sudden changes in schedule, I find that people are more inclined to schedule and then reschedule under a retrograde Mercury. So if you anticipate that, you can be flexible and then it won't be upsetting.
So it's really kind of just understanding these kinds of cycles.
Yeah, that's the thing. Understand it, because it's going to happen, and it's there not to bedevil us.
Good.
It's there to help us. It's there to say, look, rethink something. Slow down. Take it a bit easier. What about your inner life? That type of thing.
We need that reminder. So I'm going to look at it as that way from now on. One of the things when we were kind of Mary Ellen and I and you were kind of going over today's show is one of the things that I thought was fascinating is you talked about how to fix the problems in an astrological chart.
Right.
You know, I think that's really something that's important, because when we have somebody do our chart, you mean the first time somebody read my chart and told me this is my strength and these are my weaknesses and this is my problem, I went, and how do I fix that? And the person didn't have any answers. So I want to know.
Well, we're getting into an area which is another reason why I got very interested in Vedic or Jyotish astrology. The meaning of Jyotish is the science of light. So astrology is the science of light. All astrology is, but particularly Vedic astrology. And there are what are known as planetary remedies in Vedic astrology. My feeling is that, at least in the studies that I undertook, there's no equivalent to the planetary remedies that are taught in Vedic astrology.
So Kazin, what does that mean? That I go take two planets and call you in the morning?
Well, in Vedic astrology, depending on what your rising sign is, depending on what time you were born.
Before you go any further, darling, I think we have to know, what is a rising sign?
Well, a rising sign is the sign that's coming up over the eastern horizon at the time that you're born.
So when we do astrology, we need the date you were born, the month, the day, the year, and the time, correct?
Well, the date, place, and time, basically.
Date, place, and time. Okay, is there something different you need for Vedic?
No, you're working with the same time of birth, but
okay. Keep
in mind that we're dealing with the constellations. Remember, there's two zodiacs?
Okay, I'm back on track.
And it can be a little bit confusing, but with repeated hearing, it becomes clear. And so we're really looking at what constellation is rising over the eastern horizon at the time of your birth. And so, in your case, you had the sign of Virgo rising, not Libra, not the tropical sign of Libra, but the constellation of Virgo. Well, Mercury is a friendly planet to Virgo because it rules that sign, and Venus is really a friendly planet. But planets like Saturn and planets like Mars and planets like the Sun are not quite as friendly. So, when you know what your friendly planets are, and what your unfriendly planets are, you can strengthen your friendly planets by using gems.
I love that. A girl can never have too many rocks.
Gems. Okay. by using colors, and we can talk specifically in a minute. Let me lay out the lay of the land a little bit. The remedies include colors and gems. Mantras. There's specific planetary mantras that are very, very wonderful. And just things like, and then for propitiating the planets that are not friendly, for the chart, there are what are called planetary charities, and we can talk about that a little bit too. But let's say if we wanted to strengthen Mercury, because that's a very Mercury is the communication planets. Mercury health-wise represents the nervous system. Mercury is associated with things like the media, like radio, TV, write-ups, writing, doing consultations as part of Mercury. Well, Mercury's in the air of your chart without revealing, you know, your birth details.
Thank you.
But Mercury's in the area of your chart that is connected with psychic ability. But this area of the chart, the eighth house, can also be connected with things like obstacles or things like frustrations or barriers or some feeling of restraint or inhibition. Well, by strengthening Mercury, let's say if you were going to use a gemstone, that would be wearing the emerald.
Oh, I'm loving emeralds.
Okay, but, emeralds can be quite costly.
They are costly.
So they are,
and
there are colors. And the color for Mercury is green. So like the green colors are really wonderful. I would say to strengthen Mercury in your chart, use color therapy.
You know, what's really interesting, and I know you don't know this because you've never, I forgot to tell you, Hazen is in that wonderful, incredible place, Sedona.
Yes.
And I also forgot to tell you, Hazen is an amazing musician, amazing flute and alto sax. He's played with Paul Horn and Stan Keaton, and he's amazing.
Thank you.
So
I
just have to tell that little secret on you because really, truly amazing gift. But, you know, you won't know this because we've always been in different places, and you haven't ever seen Marilyn and I work on stage, but one of the colors I really wear a lot is that kind of teal green.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when I'm in that, it's sort of my security color, and I never would have known that that's probably why.
That's right. And also royal blue is very, very good color for you as well. The colors that would not be considered as favorable. Now, we're talking purely from an astrological point of view.
Right. So for my listeners, how they can apply this to their chart is they need to find what their rising sign is. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, but again, it's according to the sidereal zodiac.
Right, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So if they have a Vedic astrology done and they find their rising, correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then they can find out what they need to do to enhance that.
That's right. They can find out the favorable colors. They can find out what gems they should be wearing and what gems they should be avoiding.
Yeah,
because some people are wearing gems that they would be better off, astrologically speaking, not wearing.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. And there's also so things, too, that are that we can determine that are really good karma to mitigate some of the unfriendly influences in our chart. Like for you, like since the sun is not considered to be the most friendly of planets in your to your rising sign.
And that, I think my sun's in Taurus, isn't it?
Well, it's in the sidereal sign of Aries.
Oh, okay, we're in a different astrology.
Right, in tropical, you don't have to give up your tropical sun sign, okay?
Okay, cool.
You don't have to. You're still a Taurus in tropical astrology.
I'm a little bit too much of a ball. I got moon, sun, and Mercury in Western, supposedly.
Right, they're all together.
Yeah, which could be not a good thing, but...
Well,
but, okay, so when we do Ayurvedic, it will be different.
It's a little bit different, yeah, because normally the whatever sign your planets are in the tropical zodiac, they will be in the previous sign.
Okay,
but keep in mind that what's important in Vedic astrology is measuring the energy of the planets according to the sidereal zodiac. And I find it's a very accurate measurement of planetary strength. In other words, astrology says if you have strong planets in your horoscope, you attract success and timely success. If you have weak or what are called afflicted planets, then this can cause delay or frustration or failure.
So this is a very good having your chart done in Ayurvedic for a professional reason. This would be a very good thing.
Because there's always something you can do to fix your chart.
Right.
Rather than something that's strictly like a psychological understanding. This is more of a devotional action.
Right.
And let's say to do a propitiation for the sun, that would be good karma for you. That would be serving your father or helping elderly men. That would be considered good karma for you.
Wow.
Or helping the poor and needy.
I do that. Yeah, that's my passion.
Or helping brothers if you have, I don't know if you have brothers or not, or being considerate to men in distress. So these are called propitiations, and these vary according to what your chart is. It's really very interesting and very fun to look at this.
Well, what an amazing way to look at things, because most of the time in astrology, you're looking at the here and now. You know, honest to God, like in my work, you know, where's the money, where's the guy or the girl coming? You know, people want to know those things. Where's the soulmate, where's these things? But sometimes I think it's very interesting just to hang out with who you are, who you came in as.
That's right.
The first time I had my chart done, it very much spooked me, and I had it done, and then I had it compared to a chart done by the ARE, the Edgar Cayce Foundation. And when I read that, it really resonated with me because I was stunned that someone could take this information, and I could look at times in my life, which I thought was very interesting, where I could say, oh, at that age, this happened, and at this thing, that happened. It was very, very profound.
Right.
But I never looked at it where I could look to where are we going. And I know a lot of people do that, have a chart done that's kind of a progressional or something.
Right.
Or goes into the future.
There's what is called the Dasha system in Vedic astrology, which tells you how many years a particular planet is turned on in your chart. In other words, if you're in a sun dasha, that's a six-year period where everything related to the sun in your astrological chart is highlighted, and then this influence can be used for predictive purposes.
Wow. What do you think the benefit of the Ayurvedic is over the Western? I mean, do you think that for you it gives you more tools to, like you said, affect the problems in your chart, to strengthen the weaknesses, to find direction?
Yeah, I think it gives more tools to work with, but I think it's also clearer on what particular karmic forces are ripening or actually operating in the life at that time, meaning the present time, or the past, or the future. I had one of my recent clients was in what was called a Mars Dasha, the first 5 years of her life, and she was saying, well, what do you see was going on? And Mars was in the sign of Gemini, which is related to brothers. And there were a lot of planets in Gemini, and Mars, the sun was also there, which can represent the father, son of Gemini. And so what actually happened in this Mars period is that there was physical abuse. Mars, violence, the first 5 years of her life, and then she came out of that Mars period. She had was a very aware child, came into a different cycle after that, and that's when she really started to coming into her own self-determination and personal strength. So the chart revealed that. So it was very healing for her to see what had happened very early in her life. But you can do this. You can take a look and see what these dasha periods are showing for any period of your life.
That's awesome.
You know,
because it gives you direction.
As an example, it might be fun, if you wouldn't mind. I think it would be fun to just say a couple of things about your chart.
Oh, no, exposure. Yes, okay. No, I'm fine with it.
Your natal moon is in Ashwini, the nakshatra of Ashwini. It's one of these 27 sectors. So at the time of birth, Ashwini. Well, this is connected to things like medicine, healing, ministering to others' needs, perhaps engagement in miraculous or heroic pursuits. This influence generates personal charm, elegance, love of jewelry, popularity.
Oh, I hate it when they tell the world I'm a jewelry hussy.
I
love it.
Aren't you involved in healing work?
I am. Is this right now in my life, or is this
No, this
at birth?
Was in your birth chart.
Interesting. You know, it's very interesting.
Okay, now listen to this. This is a current cycle, and I think you'll love this. Okay, the current cycle has to do with the nakshatra of Shravana, which is derived or associated with the art of hearing and education, particularly audio or audible education. It signifies scholarship, educational proficiency, and interest. And knowledge. Well, this is what you're doing, isn't it?
Well, and actually, Hazen, I know you don't know, because I know Mary. No, I know nobody knows that I'm actually pursuing towards a degree now in metaphysics, which I've never done.
When did you start that?
I actually just turned in all the paperwork about a week and a half ago. So
fascinating.
Yeah, it is fascinating. Do 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 do. Insert spooky music. Yeah, that's fascinating.
Yeah,
I have been teaching in the last year a lot. I have just gotten such a passion for it.
Absolutely.
But I find that interesting.
Yeah.
When you mentioned before in my birth chart, when I was a kid, I drove my family crazy because I was like any animal, stray animal. I mean, I brought it home. I mean, I was always nursing something, raising something, warming some chicken or duck or something up in the oven, you know, to bring it back to life if it caught cold and everything. So I've always had a passion.
Well, you know, there's other influences related to healing. Are you one who likes to use your hands a lot?
I do.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you were born, the nakshatra that was rising when you were born is called Hasta. And the symbol is the hand or the fist, grasping things, doing things, touching things, dexterity. I have that strong in my chart. You know, see, there's no equivalent to this in Western astrology. I just love this stuff. I can't tell you.
I know. It's like, it's a different world. I'm so glad we're having
world.
You on, because it really is very, very different than Western astrology, which seems to me more just this. You know what I mean? The 12 things
right.
and how
That's
they cycle
right.
and... You know, but I find it fascinating because I had never thought of places as having signs and symbols too, like that. When are whatever we were signed into the union or whatever, Washington State has a birthday,
right?
So it has a sign. So it's interesting to me that, you know, places and things, and
right.
that you can, you know, when you're thinking about moving, you can actually have astrology done to that. It's fascinating because when you think about it, everything is affected by this.
That's right. And it's interesting, you mentioned like certain areas of the country that they would have a particular chart, that type of thing. Well, in Vedic astrology, each planet has its own direction.
Wow.
Now, it's really interesting because Saturn energy represents the West. Like either going west of wherever you happen to be when a Saturn influence comes in and becomes strong, or just the Western direction in general. Well, I came into a Saturn dasha in 1993, and so I'm living in the Southwest, and I'm very comfortable in the Southwest. The Southwest is really very good for me. I had a client recently who was about to come into a moon dasha, and the moon in Vedic astrology represents the Northwest, and I said, well, if it were me, I would suggest he's living in Sedona, and he's sensing a need to make a change for business and financial reasons. And I'm looking at this chart, and I'm saying, well, gee, you're coming into this moon period. I would suggest that you look at the Northwest. Have you thought about going to Seattle or Vancouver area? And he said, that's where I've been thinking of going.
It's almost like spirit kind of pushes you in. You know, I mean, it's like a combination thing. So really, combining this with your metaphysical path or studies, it could be fabulous. Let's talk for a minute. I know you're going to hate to go here, but I can't help myself, and I usually don't do politics, but you got to wonder, we're coming towards elections and different things, and I'm going to ask about Mr. Bush and his astrology. Or, you know, when you think about this, if all of us have charts that affect, it's interesting, I think, perhaps, to look at people who are important people. What if you took the president's chart and the chart of the United States? I mean, is it possible to do that? Do a comparison?
Oh, sure. Well, you know, I must say I'm not a big political
I'm not either, but I'm curious.
But people are interested in it. Mm-hmm. So we've been on the subject of the nakshatras. Mm-hmm. So I thought it might be fun to take a look at the nakshatra that was in effect when George Bush, around the time George Bush was elected, and that was in effect at the time the Iraq War started, because I think it's very revealing. And the subcycle, the nakshatra that was in effect, is called Mrigashira. This started in December of the year 2000. And again, it was in effect when the war started. Mm-hmm. Now, this nakshatra is symbolized by the deer. The deer, deers are timid, a little bit shy, and nervous creatures. They can be given to quick fidgeting movements, and I think President Bush has some of those qualities. And this nakshatra is also related to the constant search for food and safety. Searching and seeking things out are primary qualities. So perhaps we could say that one of the things he's searching for, whether he says it or not, is something like oil. And security. This is related to security. Deers roam around, and so this asterism or this nakshatra is associated with journeys, moves, roads, and paths. It also suggests hunting, which is some form of search.
Right.
So this is a changeable energy. He's hunting. It's a little bit fickle. It's a clever energy. It also indicates a person of a somewhat suspicious nature. And it's also connected with people who may have some rigid attitudes.
Structure.
Okay, you see? So he's hunting. He's searching. He likes to hunt. And I think that's why he went into the war, or the people that took us into the war did not really foresaw some of the consequences of it. They loved the hunt.
Right, right. You know, Hazen, I wished I would have asked you, and I know it takes time to set this up because, you know, you have to look at all the charts and the stuff.
Right.
But, you know, everybody's talking about 2012, you know, that Mayan calendar ends, all of this stuff. Do you have any kind of take on that? Have you done any research on, you know, where are we going in that kind of evolution? Because from my work, Spirit has told me that there's going to be a lot of changes in the environment as far as how we connect with Spirit. In fact, some of the tools of grounding, some of the tools that we've used over, you know, my lifetime, and how we go into our connection with Spirit and religions is all going to shift in a big way in 2012. And so, astrologically, it would have been fun to pursue that. Have you ever looked at any of that?
Actually, Atira, I have to apologize because I really haven't gone into that much. But I'm thinking about it. And
future show. Good.
And I know a lot of people have hopes that there will be some kind of a paradigm shift taking place at that time. I think my work is more taking people into present time where they're not living in the future. But this is not against really exploring what energies are going to be coming in the year 2012.
Yeah. I think it's fascinating, though, that you know, just the aspect of the fixing the problems in one astrological chart, to me that's like a very big gift if you can look at where are your weaknesses, where are your strengths, and how, you know, because I think people go into times in their life, I mean, I certainly have, where, you know, I've had times where, like, this seems like the dark night of the soul, you know, where, or periods where perhaps you're having a lot of loss in your family or just miscommunications, things like that. So I think this whole idea that you could look at the chart and get some tools, you know, whether it be stones or color, or just be aware of this is a time you might want to be a little more restrained about things, could be an awesome gift.
Absolutely. And, you know, I enjoy working with planetary mantras, like the mantra for Saturn is Om Namah Shivaya.
Easy for you to say.
And the one for the moon is Om Som Somaya Namaha. This is another way of working with whatever planetary energy that is either beneficial for you and strengthening it, or on the other hand, it may be difficult for you, and then it brings you into harmony with it.
How long have you studied the Vedic astrology?
Well, you know, I got so frustrated with Western astrology, even though I enjoyed it for many, many years, that I was willing to start from scratch. So I started about 10 years ago.
Wow.
And I was studying 8 to 12 hours a day for about a year.
You're like me. When you find something, you throw yourself 100% into it.
You got to throw yourself in it. I became obsessed, and I knew that there had to be a better way for me.
Or it's a passion. I don't even know if it's obsessed.
It's a passion, and I started collecting books. I started taking classes. Sedona is a great place for studying astrology because one of the biggest conferences in the Vedic world is based here in Sedona.
Wow.
So I went to those, and that really got me started. And then one thing leads to another.
Hazen, do you have a website? Don't let me forget to give your website.
Sure. It's easy. It's hazen.com. Hazen is hazen.com.
Wonderful. I don't want to forget to say that several times because I know people are going to go, I want to fix my chart. I want help.
Right. It's really a fun thing to do.
So one of the things, too, we were talking about is how is astrology influence, or could we look at astrology in, say, relationship to some of the things that hit the news, like, for instance, the fires right now in California.
Oh, sure. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, let's talk about it, because it's really been prevalent.
Yeah, let's talk about that. But, again...
I want to teach. I'd love to know all about my chart, but I really have to share current terms. So, obviously, I'm going to have my chart done down and see where I am.
Oh, well, I'd be delighted to hear, you know. Well, you know, when we look at the California fire, the early reports of fire was on Sunday, the 21st, and it was around 6 a.m. And the moon has a particularly strong influence this month because the moon is at what is called perigee, meaning that it is at its closest to Earth and is about 14% bigger and brighter than usual.
And it seemed like it last night.
Yeah, you can go out and actually see it. So so around that time on Sunday, the moon moved into the nakshatra of Dhanishta. And you know, the names, don't worry about the names, but Dhanishta has a hot nature. Some nakshatra is a little bit cooler. Dhanishta has more of a hot nature. And it's connected with things such as structures, such as luxuries or valuable objects. This could certainly relate to many very, very expensive homes in that area. That's a very rich area, affluent area. I have family in Escondido, family in San Marcos. My mother and sister live in the Vista area. All of that was where the fires were really taking place in San Diego County. The California fire and the Saturn K2 conjunction in the nakshatra of Magha is important. Now, there's a conjunction of Saturn and the South Node that's really important that's going on right now. And it's going to be going on for about another month. Saturn also has to do with things like structures, anything of a material nature. And K2 is a very spiritualizing influence. K2, or the South Node, represents non-material reality. So you have a tension between Saturn, material reality, and the South Node, non-material reality. And these two don't get along that well. So there's a built-in explosive problem here that is ready to be set off. Now, both of these are in the nakshatra of Magha. And Magha is in the sign of Leo, a fire sign.
Ouch.
And Mars, by transit, is passing through the nakshatra of Ardra. That's in the constellation of Gemini. What's the symbol of Ardra? The teardrop. The teardrop of sorrow, representing sorrow and loss that must be gone through before the light of redemption returns. So it's possible to do the analysis of the fire from the time the moon entered the sidereal sign of Aquarius on Sunday and started aspecting the Saturn K2 conjunction. This is very incendiary in dry, foresty climates. Leo is ruled by the sun, represents mountainous or foresty areas, areas where there's a lot of trees. Moon is in sidereal Aquarius, an air sign, high wind.
High winds.
You know what I'm saying before I do.
Yeah.
And aspects K2, Saturn and K2 and Leo, a fire sign. The Rahu K2, the nodes, inflame. When they're near a planet, they inflame the nature of that planet. And then the moon moved into another nakshatra that also had a destructive nature and is associated with the burning of a house. That's one of the symbols.
Wow.
So
it's almost scary that you can have these symbols and then you have this actual event happening.
Right. Yeah. Right. When I looked at that, I was just floored.
Yeah.
Now, it's very difficult to predict something like this in advance because not every area in the world is up in flames.
Right.
But in certain areas, there's going to be more of a tendency for something like this to manifest. But I think also the understanding of an event after the fact can be very important as well.
Yeah, I think truly that sometimes when we look back, you know, you get the bigger picture too.
Right.
Very, very much so. So this is very, very fascinating that it can, you know, you can kind of look at current events based on this astrology. You can look at how you want to move in your life, literally, physically move.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at your weaknesses and your strengths and get some ideas to fix them. That one, that's a big one. And enlightening me about Mercury retrograde, that really helped because, you know, truly, I truly used to think, you know, there was nothing to that. But, boy, the more I experienced almost always some kind of mechanical issue.
Well, you know, Mercury is a very important planet in your chart, particularly so, more so for you than a lot of other people.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
That could be good or bad.
Yeah.
But I'm going to look at it very differently now that I have some new tools to use, you know, use it as a time where I can go inward. Because I do think...
No, Tira, I think of it this way. Let's say you're reading, as an example, again, relating this to Mercury retrograde, let's say you only had an opportunity to read a book only once to get everything out of it. How much would you get? But Mercury retrograde says it gives you the opportunity to go over the same information.
Wow.
What would our lives be like if we couldn't redo a situation, if we couldn't make amends? If we couldn't, cover our old sofa with new material, you know, recover it. If we couldn't take our car back to the mechanic if it wasn't fixed right the first time.
Right.
If we couldn't go into depth into something. So Mercury is not about, the width, breadth of experience. It represents depth of experience. So if we think of it as an opportunity to redo, to renew, to regenerate, to repaint, to rewrite, to revise, then it's really a very...
So that's when I want to rewrite the book.
Sure. Yeah.
No problems.
You know, and it's also an important time to go over important documents, especially legal documents, because there may be more typos.
Wow.
There may be a clause in there that shouldn't be there, or maybe somebody's trying to take advantage of you. So when Mercury is retrograde, it's just a little voice in the back of the mind to give yourself an extra opportunity to get something right if it doesn't work out the first time.
What are the details?
Huh?
Go over details.
Yeah, go over details. And have somebody look out for you, too, maybe.
Fascinating.
Get a second opinion.
So how often should a person, like, have a chart? Once a year?
Well, if they want to stay current, what I recommend is that they do it at least once a year. But I have a client that calls every 6 months, and then I have clients that just call when something's happening. So it really depends upon personal need.
Well, I think when people have, I call it that, spiritual crisis. You know, it's not like midlife crisis. Sometimes when you're having spiritual crisis, you wake up and say, who am I today? You know, what happened?
Right.
You're at a time in your life where you're doing self-inventory, big changes. I really think looking at your chart's a very good thing. for instance, it's sort of a dynamic coincidence, you know, spirit provided, that you're looking at my chart now, because I am in a very transitional, different time. Spirit's kind of taking me in a different avenue. So it was kind of cool to have a little preview of that.
Well,
and like you said, media all of a sudden has become very different, prominent. Thank you, Spirit, for the radio and all the wonderful people at BBS Radio. Every day I thank my lucky stars for that opportunity. But, you know, it's true. I think you have to look at when there's big transition in your life and you don't have a way to look at a chart and get someone's perspective outside of yourself. As a reader, it is really difficult to get your own stuff.
Right. Absolutely. And what we're talking about, too, I think, is destiny. And I do believe sincerely that certain things are fated. Not that it takes away from free will. Because it's like the old saying, we cannot always control the winds, but we can control the sails. Have you heard that? You know, that old
saying? I haven't heard that. I love that.
Yeah, but it's true. So my feeling is that on a higher level, we are co-creators with our lives.
I really think we are co-creators, but I do also think that we came in with something. You know, I happen to believe in reincarnation. Not everybody does, but I believe we come in with things, some good things and some not so good things. And but really, truly, with the opportunity to make free will choices and to choose to be co-creators, because you know, a lot of us drive on autopilot and don't know that they're co-creating.
Right. Well.
So having tools like astrology to look at, I think, is a huge gift.
That's right, because when you really know what planetary energies are operating in your life, you don't have to have somebody telling you what to do every 5 minutes.
Right.
You're getting that guidance from within. And my teacher said, if that's heresy, make the most of it. Really, because the astrology or anything of a metaphysically straight-talking nature really has to do with getting to a point where we're listening to that inner guidance, that inner voice. Don't you think so?
I really do. Actually, the goal of my work is to have people listen to their
right.
own guides. You know, I really
right.
tell them my goal is, you know, I have you for 45 minutes, but I want to give you tools to
exactly.
go and communicate with your own angels, guides, and masters. You know,
exactly.
really, we want to come in with our own manual. Where is that manual when we come in? We really often, I mean, I've said it many, many times in my work, people want to know, you know, who am I, where am I going, you know, am I on my spiritual path? And I tell them, you know, you got to look down at your feet, darling. If you're walking and doing human, you're still on your path.
Right.
And we don't want to hear that. It doesn't look like, you know, the magic, oh my goodness, sort of thing.
Right.
But we didn't come in with a manual unless we use something like the tools of astrology
right.
and the tools of metaphysics. Learning that we are co-creators and
right.
that we're part of the answer, not just part
That's
of
right.
the problem.
Atira, I'll have to tell you, I can remember the exact time in my life. I was in my early 20s when, after I had been studying astrology very diligently, I had the epiphany, the realization that God did not send us into life without a roadmap for our lives. And the roadmap is astrology, or it's part of it.
That's wonderful.
And I was overjoyed that we're not here, and we're not here to just wander around and flounder and not have some kind of a mirror to our own experience that can make us more conscious of where we've been, what's happening now, and where we're headed.
Well, you know, I never thought about it, actually, until we were talking, you know, and kind of communing about this show today, that it would be interesting to me, say, if you came in with it. I happen to luck out and get great parents. But if you came in with, say, not such a good family experience, it would be interesting to have your mom's, your dad's, and your chart together and look
right.
at how did those dynamics play out. I would think
right.
it would be give you a big aha of the dynamics, you know, and what maybe even was going on at the time.
Absolutely, and even within a person's own chart, there's ways of looking at their relationship with the parents. In other words, the parents are portrayed in your astrological chart differently,
right.
Depending on whose chart.
So what do you do with, like, people who are adopted or people who don't know? They may know the day, the you know, month and day and mm-hmm. year, but not the time. How
well,
do you
it's
work
possible.
Around those problems?
I know somebody who, I know a young lady and her brother who were adopted, and they were able to go back and find out their original birth record and their birth time. So the records are more open. It's not possible in every case
in order to find out
your birth time, but I think the laws have changed for those people who are adopted that do want to find out more.
Yeah, but what about for people who can't find? Because I mean, my mother was born, you know, at home, and her only records, actually, even when she got her Social Security, was from a church, a Baptist church, when she was taken into the church, and
the birth time was recorded. Or was that the Baptist?
No, there was no birth time. It was just when she had her whatever, like, little confirmation ceremony, and they based that on that's the first record of her, you know, being, and they had a record of how old she was on that little piece.
So
there was like
in the afternoon or something like that.
You know, we never could find out what time of day, whether it was morning or afternoon. Nobody, I mean, everybody that had, you know, was there at the time of birth was gone. So how do you do something for them?
Here's what I would say. What we're talking about is called rectification. And that's where the astrologer takes between 5 and 10 events and works backwards in order to ascertain what the birth chart would be.
Wow.
It can be very time-consuming. The hardest is when there's no idea at all of when the birth time took place. But in some families, there's an idea, you were born early in the morning or near breakfast.
Right.
Or we were just sitting down to lunch. Or we were just sitting down to dinner. Something like that narrows down the possibilities, and then with the list of events, the astrologer can take it from there and figure it out usually. But astrologers have to charge more because that is very, very time-consuming.
But it gives hope to people who really have a problem. I want to get my chart done, but I don't have all that. I think that's wonderful to give them hope to find the way and find the avenue. I want to give your how to get a hold of you. It's www.hazen.com. Mm-hmm. An amazing astrologer. We've been talking today about the difference between Western astrology and Vedic astrology, with all those hard names to pronunciate. And you've been doing this astrology really since how long?
Well, astrology for over 25 years, and the Vedic for the last few years. So.
Yeah, that's fabulous. So fascinating. You're located in Sedona, Arizona,
mm-hmm.
but people can certainly go to your website, get in touch, have the adventure of having their charts done and exploring things. Other things you want to talk about, what is the, I know people really tend to go and say compare charts because we're thinking about, having a relationship. People like to do that. People like to, get charts when they're moving and stuff. But you can actually do charts even on businesses, can't you? When businesses
Partners or parents and children. Mm. Sure. You can do a relationship chart on anybody.
That's
you really can.
Yeah.
And there's certain things to look for, like if the sun and moon in one chart is the same as the rising sign in another chart, that's an indication of compatibility.
Wow.
Or Venus, Mars, those are the biological urge planets. If they're in relationship to each other between the respective charts, that can indicate that the sexual enjoyment will be wonderful.
Wow.
Things like that.
Everybody's going to remember that part.
And it's really true. So
you were talking about in my chart right now, education's kind of an interesting thing.
Right.
Or interesting way to go. So I find that interesting. So if somebody was going to start, say, a college education or a career, you could even look at that aspect in their chart to help them kind of plot their future. I'm not saying that we have to stick to this and it's only this way, but I think it's wonderful to find, like roadmaps, like you said, of what direction, how to go forward towards things, because I think we, especially when you graduate from high school, you're in that indecision thing. So you could even look at the chart of the college you're going to and you to look at the compatibility.
Right. And the nature of education, what are the influences for education in the chart at any given time, that type of thing. The fourth and the fifth house, there's 12 houses astrologically. The fourth and fifth house in Vedic astrology is very important in terms of higher education. So the astrologer would look there.
Wow.
It's funny.
I was having a hard time dealing with 12 houses. Now you got me up to 27.
Well, it's not 27 houses.
27 planets.
It's 27 segments of the heavens.
Of the heavens.
It's a further subdivisions of the 12th signs. It's not too hard, but it's new. So what we're doing is new.
So it sounds like that this gives much more in-depth than just the Western astrology.
Well, I think so, and I think it gets information that people can very much see working out in their lives.
I hate our time's already up. This hour went so fast. I was.
Is it over already?
I know. I was getting so educated. It just whooshed by.
Well, the most important thing I was going to say, but since we ran out of time, I guess we'll
talk again.
I'm teasing you. Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to get a hold of Hazen, again, it's www.hazen.com. He's in Sedona, Arizona, a fabulous astrologer, so much knowledge, so much wisdom, and a talented, incredible musician, and a wonderful friend. Thank you so much for sharing this time with
me. Thank you, Tira.
I look forward to having you back, you know, and looking at in depth at some other kinds of things about this Vedic astrology. I think there's so many aspects that we just barely touched on. Mm-hmm. And thank you so much for clearing up my Mercury retrograde.
You're welcome. My pleasure. And there's always something new to talk about in astrology, so maybe we'll have another chance.
We'll have another adventure. Thank you so much. We've so enjoyed this time of really looking at how planets affect us and how, you know, we can change and correct things that are weak or confusing in our charts. You just have to find the right person to help you sort it out. So remember to let your heart light shine, to light your way for your, and the way for others. And until we talk again, remember to stay wrapped in the wings of angels. Bye.
Great.
Mary Ellen Angel Scribe, author of Expect Miracles and the Angels and Miracles Good Newsletter, can be found at angelscribe.com.